This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
So Memphis Madness happened last night. Lots of interesting things came out of it. Tripstar performed. Big Homie G performed.
That's right.
There was a third one. Big 30 performed, and then of course Moneybagg Yo. I believe all of these gentlemen are signed to Endless ENT, which is Z-Bo's deal.
And he was out there on the floor, was he not?
Z-Bo was out there last night.
Looked like it.
Yeah.
The man NLE behind travel. The scene, the man making
NLE,
all the money.
NLE's Endless, right? Or is he might not be. NLE might not be. That's why he was out. That's why he was separate. Separate deal.
Yeah,
there.
I don't recall reading that thing. And maybe we could be corrected, but I don't think NLE is Endless.
Mm. But that happened last night. The performers took place, and it was a day that no one will soon forget. Larry Brown made it through the entire thing, which is great. But that we were sort of, you know, was it going to happen? He did indeed make it through the entire thing.
There were some really bad jokes on Twitter, like if he would. There was speculation after they saw the Polaris that he would roll up in a Model T. And I think that's just really
that's
really low.
That's
you know.
Supposed to going a bit too far, isn't
yeah.
it?
A Model T.
Yeah, people were making their jokes, you know, and it's sort of inappropriate.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
I'm glad we haven't participated
jokes.
In anything like that.
We're not
that.
Doing that here.
Glad we haven't done that.
No, you sent me. I'll raise my hand though. I mean, I a lot of people have sort of confronted me about my DraftKings picture, and it was Gruden. This is before. It is funny. Like, as a really brief aside. I was picking up some dinner last night from Skybox, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I love Skybox.
And the people, I had a Raiders hoodie on, like I always do, right? And like the people were like, looking at me, man. Like it's like the scarlet letter.
Yeah, like how could you rip that?
I was like, I don't know what y'all think. Like does this mean I'm endorsing racism? Like by wearing this? Because we did fire him. You know, so
begrudgingly,
but we still did it though.
Yeah. It feels dirty. It does feel a little dirty
after the NFL leaks some more.
And the truth is, you know, well, it's not like it was a Joe Paterno deal, bro.
No,
like,
it's not that dirty.
I would be embarrassed to wear Penn State gear after that. You know,
I can. That. There's a definite difference there, John. Yeah.
You know, this was one man who does not represent or should not represent the entire organization. He was fired. Because of his actions.
Well, he resigned.
But you're right. You're right.
He was allowed to resign.
He was allowed to resign. You're exactly right. Fair point. Mm. But he was forced to resign.
By the NFL, not even hardly his brother,
I feel like
Mark Davis.
People were looking at
Did
me
you
like,
see his
you're
brother.
Disgusting.
You're saying
you're
this
disgusting.
And you act like you didn't see what Mark Davis said about the whole thing.
I saw it.
Like, he let it know to be pretty much be clear that he wasn't down for this.
Do you have this in a rundown item, Mark Davis's response?
Well, it's pretty darn short. I can paraphrase it for you. NFL has all the answers. Go ask them.
Yep. That's pretty begrudging. You're exactly right.
Yes.
That's not a good look for him.
No,
it's not.
You got to come out and say that.
That's terrible.
This goes against your values and
yes,
everything else.
That's right. The wrong statement.
Because Mark Davis did something with George Floyd's family.
Don't you remember that?
Yes.
Yes.
He invited them out.
How quickly he seems to have forgotten. That's right. What I'm saying.
It's uncharacteristic, it feels like, of Mark Davis. You know, Mark Davis has been, Al Davis, as you know,
his
was
father.
The, you know what Al Davis mm-hmm. did for black athletes.
You tell us every damn week.
Well, it was part of his legacy.
Right. His legacy.
Right.
Right.
Well, and that's what I'm – my
you
point.
Can't – just because he had one don't mean son's going to have one in these departments. Right. Now, solid black – we all saluted him, did we not?
Eventually, I don't know if you did.
On the George Floyd thing.
Oh, okay.
In terms of, yes. Of his – right? But here you fall short.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree.
Are you now, going – now, I will say this real quick, Brad.
That's right.
If the Raiders feel like this has been selective – because, like we talked about, this was an investigation of Washington.
There you go.
Nothing's become of that mess other than this $10 million fine. It's a joke for Snyder, right? And telling him that, you know, his wife's going to be in the day-to-day operations. You had to get out. It's a joke. So if they feel like, yes, that our guy John Gruden seems to be the only one taking the fall here, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. And that's why it would behoove the NFL to make this look less selective. You see, they come out and denied that. They've had to because everybody's pointing the finger at them.
Yep.
It would make sense for you then, okay, well, if this wasn't so selective just about John Gruden, well, release all the emails. You got 650,000 of them. Problem is, y'all know there's folks they want to protect involved in some of those
you
emails,
know
whether,
it.
Whether they're the subject of something or whether they're senders. And so that's why we're not going to see those emails. There's too much interest in there for the NFL to protect. To let that out. I mean, as secretive as they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the point, Brad. You had something there. But if Gruden feels and the Raiders feel like this has been very selective,
like
and
be
I'm
real.
Sure they do, then that part of it is fair. But you got to come out of your you have to denounce this though. Still, if you are Mark Davis,
no question.
He didn't do enough of that.
Are you going with the ageist angle on this? Is that where you're headed with it? Because you're talking about your ageist franchise as well.
No, our franchise, I would say, is definitely not ageist. We might be racist and misogynistic and homophobic, but hopefully
you both got them all
so
covered.
Let me ask, could Mark Davis but, run it?
How dare you accuse us of being ageist?
Could Mark Davis run it into the ground and you still be a fan of the Raiders because of what Al did? Would there be anything right where you would say, you know what, this is Mark just too. I got to get on out of here. Oh, I asked you a good
it's
one.
A great question.
What
is something that you would have to abandon your franchise with?
Because you can always
like
say, well,
stuff,
I became affiliated with it before all that happened,
like
right?
Like the Penn State stuff, what was going on Joe Pa and all that, I would never be able to, you know, because that was not just Joe Paterno. That was a university-wide effort to cover that stuff up, you know? And so I would say that would definitely be at the top of the list. Other than that, you know, look, it was reprehensible what John Gruden said, but at the end of the day, like, what does that have to do with Darren Waller? What does that have to do with Derek Carr? What does that have to do with everybody else, right? Like, that was it's not like it was, you know, he wasn't having Klan meetings in the locker room, right? I mean, he just, it was a different, it was his own thing. That's something, that's John Gruden's song, and he's going to have to dance to that, and he's the one that's being wiped away, basically, from every part of football that he's ever been involved with, and that's his punishment, right? That's what you get. But in terms of like my feelings about the Raiders moving forward, like no, it's not gonna.
Well, my whole thing is Mark doesn't get to live on Dad's legacy. Dad hired Art Schill.
No, I agree.
Dad hired women. Dad hired McKenzie, who was y'all's GM so long.
Yes, woman.
Like,
yes.
Dad had a Mark doesn't get to just inherit that.
No.
You got to go out and show it as a leader, too.
I agree.
And it can't just be lip service for the George Floyd thing. And on this, it's I didn't even want to, you know, fire the guy on this. I mean, he made it pretty clear that.
I think you put it well. He fell short on this one.
We can all feel like, you know, with Gruden, hey, you know, we'll all be judged at some point.
Yep.
But the key here is you can't be a leader – right, of the kind of men that you disparaged, or men and women,
that
you disparaged in these emails, how can you go back in the locker room and then leave?
No.
A predominantly African-American, or a locker room that's got a gay guy in it.
Oh, that's why he had to
go. That's the point of all this. Folks are making a good case about how this whole cancel culture on Gruden, like we've gone too far on something. You cannot lead that locker room. That's the difference here. The man was paid to lead a locker room that's full of black guys, that's literally got the lone openly gay guy right in the end. He's the one guy openly.
That's true,
in your locker room. You can't lead those guys when you got emails like this. That's why you have to lose the job.
Right.
So
I mean, it's not like John Gruden selling paper. Right,
right.
He's a coach.
Exactly.
He's a leader of men.
Insulting otherwise.
His job is to win games, but within that is to make sure that the guys that he's coaching believe in him.
Lead a group of men,
you know.
And so when he has to have credibility when they look at him, and you've lost that all.
I agree, and I wish Mark Davis would have been a little bit more stronger. But, in his.
Yeah, and I that's not to tell you, oh, John, you got to jump off this Raiders ship because Mark Davis came up short here.
Right.
But I just wonder, when is that line that we all do? We would say, you know what, this is, and you make a good point on Penn State. Now all them folks are back.
They are. I mean,
like Penn State's back. Penn State's got the pride back.
They had to expunge that joker, though.
You had to clean it up for a while, though, didn't you? They were tainted
but
for
that
a while.
Was going on, that was, I mean, look, that was going on for 30 years, man.
It's disgusting. Everybody that was involved to cover that up is what is.
You know, so if people can still walk around the United States.
But USA Gymnastics sort of had that many folks involved. Yeah, all of it was so deep. You had so many folks that knew.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, and we're a part of the cover up.
Right now, I don't think Mark Davis necessarily knew. Right, that how can you know that John Gruden is like that?
Oh no, I don't think he had a clue. I mean, none of his players did.
Because clearly, he was a different person.
Jacobs.
What about Mayock though? They are close. I listened to Mayock's statement, and I was really surprised because he didn't go too deep either.
I didn't see what he said.
His
what
statement
did Mayock
was
say?
He addressed it and then kind of quickly pivoted to here's our new coach, the interim, and it's about the players and it's about Denver.
I saw he's got 51% of the control now on the player decisions, whereas it was 49% for him. Well,
yes.
Gruden will get the last say.
Yeah,
now,
by the way, that's bull. That's
Mayock
bull.
Now gets the
Man,
last say.
Man, I don't know, damn, 49%. He had about 12%.
Okay.
Gruden made those choices.
No, I would believe close. That. Red 49, obviously.
I always thought they were close.
Look, I mean, that's what Derek Carr said. Love the man, hate the sin.
Doesn't he live next door to him?
They're neighbors.
Yeah, they're next
door.
Hello.
Multi-million dollar
Remember
homes.
When you were my coach?
Might have to do a search of Derek's home, you know, like what you got in there, man. Yeah, I don't want to see no Confederate
Well, Derek
flag.
Said release the emails, though, didn't he?
Got he
the, as part of this, yes.
Wow.
But I think going back to that whole thing, that it's funny that John Gruden's the only one really coming out of this
well,
thing
that,
punished because you know there's
I think
more
that's
up in
true,
there.
Too. It's like, come on, man.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
How
it just
is he
shows
the only
you
guy that catches a bullet in this?
That's on the NFL. It's
right.
Ridiculous.
Right. I mean, there's clearly you were investigating something else entirely, and the only thing that comes out of this is John Gruden gets fired. What the hell? I mean, that's
Jason, I think you're right, though. They ain't going to get in there. That's too big of a bag.
Oh, man, there's too much
too
stuff.
Too big
and
of a bag.
For the NFL's got to protect all their interests and all big money interests. There's too much.
Not happening.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You won't see him.
But, you know, that's one piece here. In terms of Memphis Madness last night, great turnout. Looks like all these different performers. And then one of the things you noticed, if you were paying attention, was every year, it's whether it's All the Smoke or you know whatever. There's always usually like a slogan on the back of the shirts.
Right.
And this year, that slogan is Tunnel Vision. That was what was printed on the back of. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, right? Tunnel vision, like you're focused on one thing, like Wolo. Like Wolo had tunnel vision last night. He was not focused on the booty. He was looking at the video board, you know? And I think you could compare the size of the two, the video board and the booty, and they're going to come out to very close to the same.
Man, you keep talking about that woman's tail.
Bro, I don't think I'm in the minority here. I think it's pretty obvious.
I'm surprised that Calkins went on and put that out there.
I'm not. I think Calkins is oblivious to the rest of the universe, you know? And
he did identify himself
as a blue hair. It is one heck of a picture.
I don't even think.
Right? Wolo, who is, you know, let's say, like, represents Tigers basketball and has for long in terms of calling and all that stuff and has for long time. Right? And you get that. You get what? You know, Madness, which is on the other side of the.
Yes. You know, I don't think Calkins, we'll ask him. I don't think Calkins necessarily posted it because
it's not just her. Moneybag's in the
right.
shot too.
I don't think he even realized like what was going on in front of Wolo.
It might be the best shot of the whole night. Like Memphis got some good ones. That you know, Penny doing on the Hove. Allow me and and the fire was behind him.
Yes,
our man, your man John Camden rocking back and forth, feeling the beat. You know what I'm saying? Those were the moments that we will remember most.
Jeff got the money shot though. There's no question.
Yes, he
Jeff
did.
Came up with a money
and
shot.
And we'll sort of get into that with him at 125. Just sort of, you know, how you did it, how you took that angle. You know, it was it was special. But Penny was asked, I believe Mark Giannotto asked him after the proceedings, why tunnel vision, and Penny had a very interesting answer. Take a listen.
Well, you know, for a team that really we haven't really achieved much, but we're like almost most hated. You know, and they always have, like, the critics are always saying things about us. And, you know, rightfully so, because we haven't really proven anything yet. So our vision this year is tunnel vision, because we're not going to worry about anything going on around us, that we're going to focus on ourselves and just, you know, look straight and not look sideways and basically just get the job done. And we can't worry about anything else.
Now, that is quite remarkable. That is quite remarkable when you contrast it with his statements in the summer of 2019 when Penny said, "We want all the smoke."
I told you.
That was
he's figured out the game.
That was a great response.
Stuff.
That was a great answer. Yeah. You know, because it just doesn't give anybody any ammo, really. Like, don't look
unnecessary
sideways.
Ammo.
Right, right.
That's about, you're not scared of them. Like, I get that penny, right? God got yes. all. It's just when you don't need unnecessary mess.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, just talking, you know, extra. You don't owe it to anybody to have to go out there and say we get it.
Unfortunately for Penny,
the work speaks for itself.
All the smoke stuff got thrown back in his face. Every loss.
So I'm talking about one
every loss.
One worth
they were
it.
Making jokes about all. And that's like in the end, what's the net harm in that? It's just a joke. But it's like,
what do the vets do, John?
They don't give you anything.
They undersell.
Yeah.
They do. You're right. They don't give you anything. And at times, go look at the Kelvin Sampson playbook.
I can't believe we were picked first.
It's undersell. It's every year you're having, right? You got all these new guys you got to work in.
This team sucks.
We got all these new guys we got to work in. That's college basketball in 2021. Everybody's got some new faces they got to work. But that's what you do. You undersell.
Well,
these vets figure that out.
Fuente did that too.
But there's a reason for this. It's so by the end of it, you look like coach of the year.
Yep.
Because you were unnecessary. Oh, no, man, this team wasn't supposed to do that. And oh, I got to give all the credit to the players because, man, we were – I didn't see this coming. And you do that for a reason because in the end, that underselling leads you to looking like, oh, man, I did a better job than folks thought I was going to, right? I did a better job than maybe even folks thought I needed to
well,
do.
Well, it's funny because I remember –
with the roster that
like,
I had.
To the point of, like, what coaches do and what coaches say. Like, I remember talking to Fuente, you know, probably the weeks leading up to that special season they had, right, when they started 8-0. I think we asked, like, how good are you going to be, right? Yeah, Paxton Lynch, you got Anthony Miller, you got all the – yeah, I remember Puente saying, oh, I don't know.
Undersell,
you know, like,
man.
It's like,
he was a pro.
Like, he knew, like, man, this team has a chance to be good. But, like, like no coach is ever going to say, oh, well, we have a chance to be great. They're going to say, man, we suck. And like,
I think Penny's doing it now. He's figured it out. You're better off going down that road.
Right. And you don't have to say publicly, well, this team sucks and I can't wait to not coach it.
Well, that ain't what Kelvin said yesterday. He was
but
downplay and undersell, yeah, sandbag.
That's the old adage, right? Undersell, overdeliver. Mm-hmm. Underpromise, overdeliver. Yeah, and I think that's, again, it's going to be very difficult for this Memphis team to do that because it's inevitable. You can't escape the promise.
The part I like him saying, I'm not going to lie to y'all, is we haven't done anything. So because I'm not going to lie to you, there's a part of me yesterday that's watching it all. And listen, when you're in this madness thing, you're trying to make it bigger and bigger every year. That gets hard, you know, for the organizers, for Penny and all of it. Like, I don't know how you're going to keep trying to top yourself unless it's you're going to bring in some these bigger big stars, because that thing gets hard to try to continue to impress folks. But for Penny Hardaway, I think right now, you know, he said, we haven't done anything. So that NIT championship doesn't mean anything right now today, because right now today, a week from Sunday, you're playing Lemoyne, you've got expectations, some have got you as a 2 seed. That's all that matters. What matters now is you get back to the tournament,
yep,
and you get back and you do something with it.
Yep.
He's saying that. He hadn't said, hey, look, we've been building up and this is the one and NIT was huge for – no, he said we hadn't done anything.
Yep.
And that's what the good ones, the smart ones, the savvy ones do. You undersell, man, and really in this case, tell the truth. That NIT title doesn't mean a thing. We know that the build-up to that, how they turn it around, will probably matter with these vets back. But you're starting from zero, essentially, and especially in a place where that needs to get back into the tournament as desperately as this program does.
Yeah.
That's what I liked, is that we hadn't done anything.
Other than that, you know.
Because they haven't.
We already saw, we talked about sort of who we expect big things from this year based on Pro Day. I don't think there was anything. I mean, look, people are talking about Tyler Harris today. And you know the way he shot the ball.
Yeah, because that man's like shooting that ball.
That's why you just sort of would absolutely, like, if let's say WinBet had a bet out there, a prop bet. What's the over under on number of players who will play in game one for Memphis? The number would have to be 11.5.
Who is game one, by the way?
I mean, it would have to be 11.5 because Penny is going to play. He's going to play 10 guys.
Tennessee
certainly.
Tech or something.
Yeah, like he's going to play 10 guys. How do you not play 10 guys? Because guess what? Jonathan Lawson's going to play. Breaking news. Alo is going to play.
Josh Minot's going to play.
Josh Minot's going to play.
We're talking about bench dudes.
Earl Timberlake is going to play, or Lanners Nolley, as we know, is going to play. And Lanners Nolley is going to Media Day. It's hard to imagine that he's a bench guy at this point. So Earl Timberlake is going to play.
Told you.
Chandler Lawson is going to play. That's 5 guys I just named for you right there. Those are all bench guys. Those are all reserves. Amani, Jalen, Lester, DeAndre. And then
Landers.
Yeah, Landers. So there's your 10.
There's your 10. Another starter.
So then you're talking about John Camden, who everybody loves, who's getting NBA attention right now.
Man, stop.
And well, he was.
Yes, they liked his size and shooting. And NBA attention's a different story.
Tyler Harris. Oh, we haven't even mentioned Jaden. That's 13 dudes. That's 13 dudes who you
it's
could.
It's Tennessee Tech on November 9th is the opener.
All 13 of those guys are playing.
How many of them they going to get?
All 13 of those. All those guys I mentioned are going to play.
Question is Tyler as a walk-on going to play? You'll play all 13 scholarship guys and a walk-on.
He will play. He's shooting the ball
too
well.
Will the other four walk-ons play? Will Demetrius Dyson play?
Demetrius
who's like a
play.
GA. I understand that. It's a joke, fool. He's been in practice as number 10.
I would start him. I loved him. I love Demetrius Dyson.
Well, Demetrius didn't really transfer here.
He was a coach on the floor for that team.
Does Willie Kemp have any eligibility left?
Man, Willie was out there. Now everybody's trying to say that's a
concern.
Was discouraging and a concern that Willie Kemp won the skills.
Well,
thing.
He couldn't.
No.
He couldn't even.
Does that
get
mean
off the bench
so you wanted one of your current guys to win? Has to win the skills thing for this team to be good.
Looks like a
Willie
different
Kemp,
person.
That just speaks to how in shape and still how skilled he still is.
That's one take.
This team isn't skilled.
No,
come on. That's over. That's going too far.
Well, I mean, you got Toppert out there in the 3-point contest. I mean, that thing was a mess.
I thought he shot so well at Cornell, was it not?
Yes, Cornell.
Well, he was one of the best shooters they ever had there coming through there.
Yeah, I mean, you got fans coming out the stands to do the 3-point contest. I mean,
I will say this. For as hot as Tyler Harris can get, and man, do I love watching him shoot because as soon as he gets across half court, he's in range.
Man.
The better percentage shooters, at least during his time here previously and then their time last. Landers and Quinones were more efficient guys. Those were 40% guys. Tyler, for his career, while he was breaking freshman records for number of threes, was always what, like a 33?
Yeah.
You know, 30-something percent guy? The percentage was never there.
Volume guy.
Yeah, I say that to say this. There have been times where Memphis had to actually, you have to have him out there because you have so few long-range threats. Well, this team already, to that point, when I'm sure Penny is in the conversation, we got shooters. You know, I'm sure that's what he told Tyler when they're coming back, and you're saying, look, I might not have a scholarship for you, is that I got guys I can put in the corner to hit knock down 40% for me.
Yep.
This isn't a deal where you're the only three-point shooter I got anymore, and it's certainly not the most efficient shooter I've got. And so for him to get out there, right, well, he's going to have to get past more guys than he has in the past and guys who have proven they can do it in tough spots, Landers Nolley and Lester Quinones, and those corners shooting 40%.
Yep, so it was a great night out there. At Memphis Madness, and if you don't believe me, just ask Wolo.
Next story.
Memphis football got a big game tonight.
Big game,
so,
Tigers.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how locked in are you for this one? For a 3-3 Memphis team that
I got a big
feels like there's a little bit of desperation surrounding this, does it not?
Absolutely. I think it is. We are at the panic button now, and one more shift to the right, you already know what it is.
Explosion.
Buddy, DEFCON 2.
So you pushed the panic button last week, you're saying, and now there's another button that has explosion on top of it?
On this season,
Ryan Silverfield
on this
told
season
us about?
Last week was indeed a panic button game for me. Absolutely. Now, again, unlike Silverfield, I'm not skipping steps, right? I mean, it doesn't just go from, all right, everything is normal, it's a sunny day, boom, nuke. You know, like, that is just, we're not doing that.
That, man, I'm glad he ain't got the code.
Yeah.
He might have, yeah.
Unstable. The man is unstable.
Like
you can't.
You got to do some stuff before you get
do
to
not
explosion.
Get,
there's got to be
no
some
doubt.
Steps.
I mean, you got to like, okay, like, is there any other way maybe that we can handle this conflict?
I think he's trying.
Other than, like, nuking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unreal.
Some folks are not taking this as, you know, this is not a joking matter, guys. So maybe we better straighten up.
Yeah.
I traveled with this team to see them.
That's right.
Get off the nuke. They indeed did not get off the nuke.
So what was your disappointment level then? If we're monitoring levels, what was your disappointment level then on Saturday, standing out there and watching that?
That defense not being able to stop friggin' Tulsa. I mean, that's the big problem.
I will say though, like it's a very volatile situation because on one side you have Ryan Silverfield, and then you've got Navy. You know, so if he did want to drop a bomb, the entity.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
You've got the right personnel.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if they lose, does he coordinate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does he coordinate something? You know, just, again, make sure that he does not have access to the nuclear football.
Who's our punter? Who's our kicker for field goals, by the way? We missed, like, 40 of them in that game against Tulsa, too.
I guess it's back to Doyle, is it not?
I mean, he's the
other guy just couldn't even get it off the ground.
We were trying chip shots. We were trying long. We're bringing this dude in.
Kemp or something like that. Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
I don't think you could go back to
Doyle.
So you can't, your kicking game blows. Like, you beat Mississippi State with a kicking game.
The weird thing is, he's hit a 50-something yarder, though, this year.
He killed Mississippi State with it.
Didn't Doyle? Yes. He hit a 50-something yarder.
Yeah.
But he's the best thing you got.
No, the Kemp dude looked like the Dr. Pepper halftime show. Like, you can't bring him.
And he was nervous out there.
No, you can't bring him back.
And I would be, too, if I was in that. That man, because I can't kick. And that's why maybe he can't kick either.
Kemp looked like the girl they bring out of the stands to kick for your tuition at the half. Like,
get free Coke.
Yeah, bro. Like, don't bring him back out there. We can't
come in here and bowl us over like a real football player.
Kemp explosion button.
Do y'all remember the last time Memphis lost three in a row? Which they're currently in.
I mean, it would have had to have been in the Fuente era.
It's since they started 8-0. That season, they actually lost three straight, believe it or not.
Let me guess. Navy?
Yep.
Temple?
It's in there. It's not the order, but yes, Temple's
Navy,
in there.
I'm trying to think the third Navy.
You were naming the teams.
Temple.
There's one more L in there. They finished 9-4, remember? Lost to Auburn. Remember, that's Fuente getting up out of here.
And they crushed Paxton SMU. I remember, like, Paxton, like,
60-something, 63 to nothing or something like that. You got, I mean, if you took a shot at it, you probably one
Navy,
of the,
it's an American team, right?
Yes, of course.
Navy.
At that point in the season, they were 8-0, Temple, remember? They were all conference games.
UCF?
It was Houston.
Houston.
Finished that season 9-4. John's right. They got back on track. Killed SMU.
Yes.
Just absolutely killed them. Everybody's feeling good. And then Fuente gets, you know.
Well, it was a disaster because after that.
Then they go to the Birmingham Bowl.
After that Ole Miss win, that's when you started hearing the rumblings about Fuente and Virginia Tech. And then Paxton got hurt. And so a lot of people were like, is he going to finish out the year or just go to the, you know, and just go or just go to the draft?
He was not the same in that Auburn game.
He was awful. He was awful.
He didn't have his whisperer with him.
I think it absolutely hurt his stock.
So, but again, a good year. Ended sourly. It was a great year. It was a year that got Fuente off to Virginia Tech. There's no question about it. That's the last time Memphis has lost three in a row. They haven't lost four in a row, which would represent a loss tonight.
That would be Porter.
Since 2013.
Oh, that was Fuente? That was Fuente's first.
That's when he first started.
Second year.
That was the last year they failed to win at least eight straight games.
And then they lost four straight. You can go back every single year. They've probably lost four straight.
Before then. You go back to before the greatness. So the point is, we have not seen many of these three games and certainly not these four games during this run, this successful run of Memphis. And so that's what you're looking to avoid. You're looking to avoid that against the Navy team. We can sit up here and talk around how they're looking better at 1-4, 1-2 in the American than they did earlier this season. But, guys, they're averaging 17.6 points per game. So this is not an offense. The Tigers are averaging 36. It's the defense that's been the issue, particularly against guys what are coming in statistically as bad offenses, like UTSA, Temple, Tulsa. These were bad offenses statistically that you've made look better because of we can say that they're on the field a ton. We can make, you know, that the offense has turned the ball over at critical times. It put more pressure on that defense. But, guys, this was a senior-laden unit that we've talked about is struggling under Mike McIntyre, ranked 90th in the country. That's like a 38-spot drop-off, guys, from where they were last year when you didn't have all these seniors, and it was McIntyre's first year. So that's where the real fear is that Navy's going to come in here 1-4, offense struggling for the most part this season, but you're going to make him competitive with, unfortunately, how ineffective your defense is.
You know, the Mississippi State win was awesome for that program at that time, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Awesome. I'd look at that and say, how Mississippi State lose it? But I know they would say some refs were involved.
And there
involved.
Was some stuff there. But the one thing about that game that people forget is you didn't have to stop the run in the game. Nothing. That isn't what their game was. So you kind of got fooled a little bit by saying, because it was a wide, you could back up. You could back up a mile and stop the long shots, and then they were dinking and dunking. It was a perfect matchup the way they played it, and they did a good game. But you didn't know what your rush defense was like.
Mm-hmm.
You had no clue. And then the next game, what happens?
It's weird because a lot of folks are running. I've noticed this and heard Herb Street talking about it on College Game, everything. A lot of folks are running the 3-3-5 that Memphis does.
Yep.
Right? And so was Temple. But the difference was with Temple's big three up front, those dudes were actually getting pressure. They were some big guys you'd see typically at nose tackle, right? Some big wide bodies that were getting pressure up front, and Memphis doesn't get that. Memphis's front three, wherever, linebackers flying around. Hell, Quindell's flying around back there, but they're not getting any sort of pressure up front. So whether it's you pick to pass them against them or pick the run, because we've seen a couple of different ways they've been skinned, they're just not getting enough pressure and chaos, creating enough chaos up front to create anything. And so that's Brad, that worked against Mississippi State because you're dropping back
State.
Saying,
back.
We're not going to give you anything.
We're back up.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's
dink and dunk
and
us all you want.
Them the
we're
short
not
stuff,
giving
exactly.
you anything long.
But, man, when they're running over you like the Watkins kid for Tulsa
or
UTSA,
yeah.
You got to change some things up.
Well, and then Tulsa doesn't have to throw long. All they got to do is throw a slant pass.
Temple's 3-3-5 was creating pressure. Yours does not do that. So there have got to be adjustments, and you just hope that they don't make Navy, a team you already historically have troubles with that triple option offense, that they just don't, have the ball the entire game and your defense can't get off the field. But I'll be real honest with you. I'm concerned that's how it's going to play out tonight.
Well, you have to be very careful as to not look at Navy's record and take them lightly
or the line.
They were up on SMU, I think, 24-7 or something like that, 17-7 something. And SMU's got the offense to bring it.
Mordecai found a way to win every time.
But, this team is playing better football the last 3 weeks. And you mentioned the 17 points a game. Like, they're averaging much better than that the last 3 weeks of the season. So something has clicked with them. And again, I was talking to Brad about this before the show. It's like that Navy offense is a boa constrictor. And if you let it get wrapped around you and you let it lock in, there is no escape. There's no escape from the triple option. I mean, we know that with Memphis. We historically have seen it time and time again.
Stop the run. It's hard. You have to be so disciplined.
Exactly.
This is a team, John, you're right. Okay, it's looked up. They're not even averaging 300 yards of total offense coming in here.
Yep.
Okay? You're at home.
You're an 11-point favorite.
You've lost a couple in a row on the road. You know, your home winning streak is done, so you don't have to think about that. You just have to think about getting this thing turned around and avoiding, John, that explosion button. And I think, to me,
anything but that.
To me, especially because you've got a freshman quarterback and a redshirt freshman tailback that you're depending on, that defense is the one I'm looking to and saying y'all have got to step up. Sure, the turnovers have got to stop. They've been at critical times. You're putting more pressure on a defense that's already been beat ragged. But that defense, it's got to be answer the call time, answer the bell time tonight against Navy. It really does.
Yeah, and so that game is going on tonight. We got a great night of football. You got Bucks Eagles on NFL Network, and then you'll have Memphis Navy on ESPN. So that sounds like
a great
Thursday night to me.
What's that line?
11.
See, you knew it right off the top of the head. Didn't say it. You gonna get involved in that? Memphis is an 11-point favorite tonight.
You gonna bet against your team,
no
John?
Comment.
I knew it because you didn't even touch on it.
I may not touch it.
I knew. So, we sniffed you out, bro.
Do you predict that we'll be pushed? That somebody gonna be pushing explosion button next week?
I think Memphis wins the game tonight.
Okay.
I think Memphis wins.
Just not by 11. I think we can read the context clues here, bro.
Yeah, I mean, 11's a lot.
Freaking hater.
Where were they just a
hater?
Weren't they just a double-digit road favorite at Temple?
Yes.
Tulane, they were a dog at Tulane.
I think they were 10. They were 3-point dog.
You mean Tulsa?
Tulsa. Yeah, Tulsa, they were a 3-point underdog.
I think they were 10 or 11 at Temple.
Damn.
Yep. Now, they are at home again. Like, I honestly, like, this sounds so oversimplistic, but I really do think, like, the first couple drives of this game will determine, like, how it goes. You know, if Memphis comes out and
how can you say that when they've had 3 possession leads and, like, 2 in blown
Well,
modes.
I'm saying, though, like, in the sense of if Memphis gets the ball
you never
first,
know
right?
With these folks.
Let's say Navy wins the ball and they defer, right? Wins the toss, they defer.
Yeah.
Memphis comes out, they go 3 and out. Who, buddy? That is a scary play.
Well, you don't want to get behind this team. Yes, this Navy team.
Watching this team at Tulsa, the quarterback's not the problem. They've got a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I think he's the quarterback that they'll keep and use. In my impression is he's a good quarterback.
When Tulsa? Us. Oh,
I think Hennigan's good. I think he's a good – the defense is the problem, and then even special teams is a problem.
Well, let's just be real. Here's the question. Is Tevin Carter going to beat him out?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Is Grant Gunnell going to be back in the mix?
Yeah, that's
more interesting.
Because
let's be real. This has not gone – you're now 3-3. This is different from going 5-1.
Now, again,
that ain't
four
him,
and two.
No.
It ain't his issue.
He's a good quarterback.
I understand all that, and he has been – I'm going to be real honest with you. With what was handed to him, you're a true freshman. This had never been done at Memphis where you're starting a true freshman game one at your quarterback position. He's done a very admirable job. But let's not act like he's coming here and now done it at a level where we say there's not going to be a competition.
I mean, he's fifth in the country in passing yards. He's 11th in the country in touchdowns.
And the offense has been fine. He's also had some critical turnovers. And three of them last week.
He's got three picks.
Two interceptions and a fumble last week that cost him all day long.
I'll be honest.
Now, you crowned him after Nichols. All I'm saying is
he's top five in the entire country.
Tevin Carter's still coming for a reason. Okay, yep. Tevin Carter, at one time you're flirting again with Georgia Tech. Now you're locked back in with Memphis. If Grant Gunnell's back in the mix, it still feels like you go back into an open competition.
I think you found your
quarterback. And we say Seth Hennigan go win it.
This man put up 463 yards.
Well, if you guys are right then, and Seth Hennigan is the guy and he's done enough for you guys to hand it to him,
yes.
Well, might as well tell Grant Gunnell, here's your walking paper.
I'm surprised he's still here.
I am too.
I'll be honest. I don't know why he's still here.
Doesn't it seem like he still seems to be involved in the damn thing?
Yeah, he was on their little show they have. You know, so I'm not sure. You know what? I don't understand. I can't say I get it. But
have you seen? He's back.
Yes.
Oh, what do you mean he's back?
He's back. He says Hennigan got his spot. He's back on his show with Preston Brady.
Yeah.
And the show on Grind City Media. The show.
Yes.
Grant Gunnell is back.
Why doesn't look like Hennigan have that spot? He's the damn quarterback.
Doesn't look like a man. That's the funny part.
Give him the money.
Hennigan was on there.
Oh,
and
he looked good.
Had started to fill in because
that's a smart.
But now Grant is back. He wants his spot back. Yeah. And that doesn't look like a guy, y'all, who is considering a transfer or getting up out of here, or is concerned that there's not going to be a competition. These are real questions that we'll be answering.
But this man is top five in the country.
There's a reason Tevin Carter said, you know what, I'm going to stick with my commitment. No, you've been holding on to it since Nichols that you crowned him.
Top 11 in the country.
Now you're losing y'all losing your grip on him. He's going to be the face for the next 4 years.
I think it's impossible to have expected him to do more than what he's doing.
Look, what game was that where they kept the camera on his dad? I was watching. I'm extremely impressed by this kid. Like, he's coach's son. He's what he makes the right decisions. More importantly, he bounces back after he makes those mistakes. He bounces back, puts them behind. That's hard for some guys to do. You know, great quarterbacks are able to do that. I see all of that in him. But, man, I'm all about the competition.
Yeah, it is good. It's helpful.
It's kind of like saying, basketball side, y'all got Earl Timberlake transfer in, right? Looking like the team's going to – he's going to be a big part of the team. So y'all don't go look at Jalen and Imani. You can't increase the competition.
Yeah, but there's only one quarterback, though. There's only one quarterback that can play. You know, like Earl can play, Jalen can play, Imani can play, Lanners can play. You can find minutes.
You want the best one, right? And if you can get an upgrade there, if Hennigan's the best, he gets the job. But if you can get an upgrade there, don't you take it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be one thing.
Especially for an organization that's had quarterbacks as good as Memphis here the last few.
It'd be one thing if Seth Hennigan was not as productive as he's been.
Yeah.
I don't know what he needs to do to convince
you. He's 3-3. Y'all, they're 3-3.
But it ain't because of him,
though. But I was buying what you were saying if they were going 4-2 or 5-1, bro.
Well, they should be 5-1. If their defense would do their job.
That's true. Field goal here or there. You know?
I mean, Seth Hennigan, he's putting up points, 17-0, 21-0. What's he supposed to do?
No, I think it's
– I guess he should play DB as well, like Cannon.
No, no, no. I mean, you could play that game if you want to. I just think he has not reached a point where he's been so impressive that I'm not holding a competition or I'm telling Grant Gunnell so long bye-bye. If Grant's willing to stay and compete again, Tevin Carter coming in, he hadn't done enough to where I'm not willing to have that competition come this offseason.
Well,
it's still more season left for Seth. But it's amazing that you all are there on a 3-3 season.
61% completion percentage.
Now,
top five in the league and in the country.
I ain't being unreasonable here. That the defense has let them down more, I want to make sure I'm on the record here, than Seth Hennigan has. But this idea that he's just been this revelation.
He's a true freshman.
That you tell Gunnell bye-bye and our man don't even come.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, look around the country. How many true freshmen are playing anywhere as much or as well as Seth Hennigan?
It's like y'all's mouth wouldn't water when y'all saw the Tevin Carter highlights when that man committed here.
I agree.
Like, that dude's big, throws it 70 yards. At least let's see him in a competition.
But then what – I mean, look, I that's fine.
Why can't it be fair to tell Seth Hennigan, go win it again?
No, he could come – absolutely.
Because you were so good the previous season?
Like, we didn't think there was a competition when Seth Hennigan got the job, right? Like, he emerged. He established himself. So if that's what happens, if Tevin comes in here and he is so good to where, you know, he usurps Seth, then I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I just feel like
it didn't sound like he was crowned for the next 4 years.
Do I think there should be like an open deal? Like, oh, we don't know who it's gonna be. I feel like Seth so far has earned that. man is top five in the country.
All you're saying is that he's done a good job, and he has.
He's done a very good
agree
job.
With that.
I think he's done
I
a very good job.
But in the end, you also agree How that much? Competition is a good thing. So bringing in the best quarterbacks
well,
you can
have,
and
you
doing
have
that
to,
next year is the best
because
way to go.
Injuries and things like that, you never know. With
100%. You can't be locked in on one
but
guy.
But how much different would this conversation be right now if Memphis' defense just did its job?
It would help you. It would help your case that this is the dude for the next 4 years, and you could tell Tevin Carter bye-bye and Grant Gunnell bye-bye. It would help your case.
I mean, they could be undefeated right now.
Oh, I told you, he's not the reason they're sitting at 3-3. He's done a remarkable job for a true freshman. There's no question being thrown into that fire. There's no question about it. Let's not act like he ain't got some weapons, too. Like, Dyke stays open and Calvin Austin beats.
Very fair.
Calvin Austin.
Very fair.
Calvin Austin take a 5-10
yard exactly
pass
right.
and turn it into an 80.
You're exactly right.
Like, that helps.
Like, Calvin Austin the third on that one play there.
He does it all the time.
Like, it was a friggin' drag route.
I saw it.
He took to get the first down. You know what I mean? Like, it was a drag route that was at least nine yards
please
short.
Please don't pay me as
fair.
I'm hating on Seth
Henning. I think that's a fair point that you should mention, that Calvin Austin does make any quarterback.
Would make anybody look better. Now, that's the star, right?
Jason,
there.
You make a good point about the competition. The weird thing, and I agree with you, by the way, it's really helpful. The problem is, it's almost like one and done now with quarterbacks, even though
it
they have to play three years.
Nobody
stays. Because, like,
let's look at Oklahoma, for example.
Right. Spencer Ratliff was like this huge, he was an unstoppable Heisman candidate, gets out of a game, probably not going to start next week, he's out of there.
Oh, it's crazy how far he's fallen.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to have Caleb Williams in there, and that's going to be it.
No, if you look around the country, every single time if a quarterback gets hurt,
his
backup is a freshman.
Yes, and
it's never a junior. It's always a freshman.
And often when that happens, the freshman balls out and keeps the job.
It can't happen. It has happened in the past. It can, for sure. But, like, yeah.
Especially at Alabama.
Whoever loses that quarterback, they leave every single time. And that's,
who's got a higher upside, him or Tevin?
Well, I would probably say Tevin because of the sheer arm talent. Right, but I think what Seth brings that I can't know yet is Seth has shown unbelievable poise and composure in a very tough situation. You know,
I said unbelievable
for a true freshman. Unbelievable,
bro?
Better than Paxton because Paxton got thrown in there as a freshman.
Feels like unbelievable is a step. So you know, like aliens. You know what I'm saying? Like
he's
you would
playing.
Say. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's
unbelievable.
Aliens is offensive.
Uh-huh. But I'm just saying, when we talk about things that are unbelievable, that's kind of what I'm that realm.
Well, it was unbelievable
wrestling now. Unbelievable. You see what I'm saying?
No.
When you're saying this freshman's poise has been unbelievable, kind of makes me think he'll be playing on Sundays in the NFL if it's also
unbelievable.
Dude, he might. It's like Tom Brady still
he
playing.
He might.
That's unbelievable. Seth Hennigan is in that category.
You foreclosed the opportunity that Seth Hennigan is an NFL quarterback? Do you foreclose that possibility? I don't.
All I said was, you went too far. You oversold with unbelievable.
I do not foreclose that opportunity. Nobody would have said Paxton was an NFL first-round draft pick after his freshman season. And he was.
And they should push the explosion button on that on defense.
Yes, that is where you should be pressing
points. Not on Seth Hennigan. We'll take the focus off of him.
Thank you.
He's been good. He's been admirable and good.
He's been very good.
Not unbelievable.
He's been great. He's been great. Top five in the freaking country in passing yards.
Calm down, bro.
How do you just gloss over that? How do you gloss over top five in the
country? You took Brad with you. You took Brad with you on this.
Brad,
how great Seth Hennigan is.
I do like the kid.
Like, but you realize
he's
the best thing
good.
for that organization.
He's very good.
For that program is to have the best in there.
I'm
and
not
if
saying
Seth can
he's
win
Doug
it again,
Flutie.
Go do it.
I'm not saying he's Doug Flutie.
Now, if he was 5-1 or 6-0, Seth would have a different case.
He would be if his defense did its job.
That's true.
He would be.
But he doesn't have that case with Silverfield at the end of the season to be able to say, man, we were so special. He doesn't have that. And, yes, defense is part of it.
If your offense spots you a 3-score lead, you're supposed to win the game 100% of the
time. That's all McIntyre
and he
him,
did that
100%.
Twice. So even if you want to take the Temple loss out, fine. But they should be 5-1. This team should be 5-1.
Well, the three turnovers last week, too, that were on him, those are big.
Okay.
That's Tulsa. You're supposed to beat that team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. I meant Tulsa, not Temple, but Tulsa, yes.
Yes.
You're supposed to be 5-1 right now. And Memphis instead, because its defense is not doing its job and not holding up its end of the bargain.
Look how we're fighting, man, when this team
we're not fighting.
This team 3-3.
We're
man,
not
look,
fighting.
Look at the chaos.
This is not a fight. This is
we
just,
need at least eight wins every year of this football team, or else it just leaves us in chaos.
No, this is just you being stubborn about Tevin.
It's not.
Y'all being silly about
competition.
No.
You crown this dude early. You're trying to hang on to it for dear life. We see you. And it's almost over.
I didn't crown the team. I crowned
Tevin told you he's still coming.
I crowned Seth. who
Grant Gunnell says he's back.
Nobody is holding up their end of the bargain, maybe besides Calvin Austin, like Seth Hennigan. That is where that I am so comfortable saying that. I am so comfortable saying that. And I just need the defense to do one thing, three words, do your job.
Well, we'll be saying that tonight when Memphis hosts Navy tonight at 6:30 at still at least one last week, Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium.
Next story.
Got an update here from Drew Hill, who reports that Tony Allen has pled not guilty to the charges in that healthcare fraud case, and he has been released on a $500,000 personal recognizance bond. So that's a lot of money. $500,000, that means you got to come up with $50,000, right?
What, 10% of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$50,000. That's a big bond, bro. Right?
$500,000? No, it can't be. Half of $50,000 is half of $100,000 is 50.
No, it's 10% of 500 is 50, right?
Oh, it's 500,000.
Yeah, it's 500,000. Yes. It's not 5,000, is it? No, 5,000 would be 10% of 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's he had to come up with $50,000 to get out of Yes, it's got to be 50,000.
You confuse me, man, with your struggles.
It's not going to be 5 million,
with
your
is struggles it? In math, bro.
Are you doing the
it's
math?
Not, yes. It just,
it's not 5,000.
Something seems so wrong about this.
Okay, well, what's 10% of 500,000?
50,000.
Okay, I knew we, I mean, I questioned many things. That was not up for debate.
I'm sorry.
But Tony Allen had to come up with $50,000 for that $500,000 personal recognizance bond. He voluntarily surrendered and was arraigned in the Southern District of New York, pled not guilty to the charges of attempt and conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud and wire fraud before Magistrate Judge Sarah Netburn. He was then released. He is being represented by New York defense attorneys Scott Resnick and Michael M. Rosensaft. As we know, we were following this story all week last week. Yeah. CDR.
Wasn't it this time last week?
Yeah, it was about this time. Yeah, CDR, others that we know and love.
I remember because we asked Scott about it, remember? That was the day that we had Scalabrini on last week.
Yeah, okay, so Drew Hill says that's that type of bond you do not have to pay. You just have to promise that you're going to show up to court. So I guess he's
big
out of
boy bond.
He's out of it completely.
We just know about that 201 10%.
That's right.
Y'all.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
We're just doing the best.
Y'all
we can.
Knew that pretty
just
quickly.
Naive.
You
were
educating me quickly on this.
No, like, no, we didn't. Clearly, these big boy bonds.
You're like, oh, 10%. Like as soon as he started, I was pretty impressed with your knowledge of the bond situation.
Still 10% down 201, I believe.
Oh yeah, damn right. You got to go.
You guys know like the book offhand.
You got to go work with the bail bondsman.
River City bondsman down there. You know what I'm saying? Like. They got him in a row down there.
What I don't understand, though, is how it only works out to 10%. That's what I've never understood.
What do you mean?
Like, how do they get it to only down to 10%? You know what I mean?
What do you mean, how do they do it? They cut it down. So whatever, it's always 10% of whatever the bail is.
Why?
Why? Yeah. I don't know when they started that or what started.
Why not just pay the full thing?
I'm not, again, naive when it comes to this side of the law in terms of why
they why not just make them pay the full thing? You know what I mean? Like, why not just make the person who committed the crime pay the whole thing? Why only 10%? Why not just set it, if it's going to be 10%, just set it at the 10%?
No, I see what you're saying. Your argument. I don't know what just the reason is why you set it there and you only have to pay 10. I don't know why the system is that.
If Tony gets out for 50, you know, or whoever
but
it is.
But in this case, it's not Tony getting out for 50.
Right.
As Drew has told us.
But okay, let's say you go to jail for,
you got a $1 million bond down there for murder. How much is the 10%?
It's $100,000.
You probably have to pay it off if you're guilty. You have to, it all has to get paid off, imagine.
Well, I don't think you're going to get that money.
But what John is saying is, why is it not $1 million? Why do we just make it 10%?
That's a great
why,
I'm not a criminal. I don't know.
I didn't study law. I don't know why the system is 10% of what the. Of what the actual number is. I don't know that, but I'm sure one of our smart listeners will let us know before this thing is said and done.
Yeah, I would like to know. I would like to know exactly why that is. But that's according to Drew that Tony Allen has entered a plea.
Now, what about his wife?
Not guilty. I do not.
Does it mention her?
She is mentioned.
That's a good question.
He does mention her in the piece. She has a different attorney. So his wife is being represented by New York defense attorney Stephen J. Harfness. I don't know if they're from the same firm, but it's very
let me ask you something.
That's weird.
Different attorneys.
Let me ask you something. If those feds came to you and they said, John, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
We caught you with your hand in your cookie jar. We want you to snitch
on, this case, Brad will be Terrence Williams.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to tell everything Terrence did, and we're going to lighten your load.
Mm.
Okay? We're going to let you get out. Let you plead not guilty. Maybe you can get you out of here. Okay? Your record be clean.
Informant.
You're going to snitch on Brad, who started this whole thing, the ringleader. We need your testimony.
Oh, man.
Are you going to do it?
Oh, man. Oh, buddy, that is a tough one right there.
I mean, Tony got some right. There's some street code too. We talk about there's man code for.
Ooh, good point.
You know that's the thing for Tony is like, no snitches, right? Like you ain't supposed to turn and be a stool pigeon or whatever. Like that. That's
yeah, but I don't want to go to jail, man. You know.
Well, I'm asking you. You gonna snitch on Brad? You gonna
I'll
snitch
be honest,
on Terrence?
I'm not built for jail, dude. Like I'm sorry. Like I'm not.
And in Tony's situation, he's got a lot of public reasons. Face here.
If Tony goes to jail, no jersey retirement.
It's over. And money opportunities.
I would ask you this when I ask you that. Isn't Tony too old to worry about things like street cred?
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're not in the mafia.
You're
not on the streets
know.
Of Chicago anymore.
No,
right?
No.
So even if somebody did call you a snitch, right? If you turn, right? You told everything you know about what Terrence did. It wouldn't matter to you at this age, right? For Tony, who's not even in NBA locker rooms anymore. If he wanted to hear from some corner of the locker room, somebody wanted to say it. So I say that to say, at Tony's age, man, you're going to do what you got to do, aren't you?
Probably.
If you need to snitch to get less time or whatever it is or not.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I really don't want to, it's hard for me to even speculate, like, what I would do in that situation.
Oh, well, I think we know because of how hard it is what you do. Brad be going down.
Man, sorry,
and you'd
Brad.
Be going back to Riley and the Sandbag on Southwind. You'd be scot-free.
I would be there still, you know. I would not have to, you know.
Could you sleep easy?
Raise my.
That's the question. Would you still sleep well with
man,
Brad?
I take
in the
a
clean.
Couple 5-milligram melatonin gummies and I am out
damn,
like a light,
Brad.
Brother. Like,
well, it was your Brad was the ringleader, so.
You know, I mean, I'm just a victim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a victim here. But that's all we know right now is that Tony Allen has pleaded not guilty.
Well, what were you paying back then? If you're not guilty.
Well, maybe that's part of it, right? Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's like, man, I did not
oh,
have
it was
any
a mistake.
Idea. Like, that's a good
Come
case.
Come on, man.
It's a good case.
But when your wife's in it, it makes your case a little tougher to prove, right? And she's got a different attorney?
Yeah,
like,
I don't
it
know
your
what's
case
going on
that,
there.
That we just were dumb to this, it makes that a little tougher to prove, does it not?
Drew says she has not been arrested yet. At least the documents say she has not been arrested yet. So I don't know why some have been arrested and others have not. Like,
what a fascinating
I know
story
Supreme Bay's in
crazy.
Mexico. So they may that might
you
be.
You know he's down there?
Well, that's where he lives.
He can get away with it.
Well, it's an extradition deal. I don't know if they want to extradite.
That's where Brad Carson's going next.
You just showed us you're willing to tell everything on everybody.
Well,
just,
that's all out there.
The feds are listening. They're headed
even
on down.
Just tell it all, bro.
I mean, they're headed on down now,
you know,
John.
He's in Mexico.
CDR and Supreme Bay was trying to
Mexico's
be free,
Mexico's a big
bro.
Place.
That's
you know
where
else,
I need to go now.
You know who else is in Mexico? Brian Laundrie. So see
hey,
who
can
you
I
find
get to Belize? Maybe I can hang out with Les Smith. I get
now,
away from this.
Now, he is the dude, John. School me on him. The guy you just mentioned, Laundrie.
Yeah, he's the guy
is
who
is the one that is suspected to have killed the girl,
Gabby Petito. Yeah, the blogger
who we found.
Yes, she
found her remains. At
yes,
least. It's
and
a
then
sad
they determined the cause of death was strangulation.
But he has been gone for some time.
He's been gone for like 3 weeks, man. They got Dog the Bounty Hunter. They got the whole world on this dude, and they can't find him.
He's in the mouth of an animal. He's gone.
John Walsh says.
My opinion.
John Walsh.
That's my opinion.
John Walsh says he thinks he's in the Bahamas
or
Mexico.
So that would mean he's on the run. Yeah. Brad saying he got eight in the wilderness.
I think
or something?
I think he's dead and gone.
It's more likely he's on the run.
John Walsh said he's heard that idea that he's been eaten by an animal. He doesn't believe that. He says he thinks he's in Mexico or the Bahamas. Because his parents covered it up for about a week. So they bought him a week of time
to take some time to get it.
Yeah.
He would want us to believe he's been eaten by an animal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's on the run. You
Brad,
would want
Brad, you'd be a terrible detective. You'd just like, oh,
this
well, he's
dead.
This
is why I try to stay above board, bro.
It's over. He's dead.
Yeah.
You go back to your...
It's Inspector Gadget. He gave up.
Case closed. That's it. He's been eaten by an animal. Why do we think that? Don't know. We can't seem to find him. You know, like this is the alligator clock.
Well, you said there are theories out there, though, right? Because you said Walsh addressed that if some have been thought he's been eaten by. There must be some theories.
Yes, I like Brad's style, though. He's like, well, you know, it's lunch break. You know, he's probably dead. Probably got eaten by an animal or a lion.
This case is closed. Two dead people.
That's right. Go back. You had that press conference for the family. Well, it's been 3 weeks and we can't find him, so we assume that he also is dead. And we don't necessarily have any reason to believe that, other than we cannot find him.
This guy's on the run.
I do think it is absurd that we can't find him.
He's on the run. Weren't they wilderness people? Weren't they campers and
they
all
were.
That? He seems well trained, but like, okay,
to
be a guy that could go on the run and get off the grid.
How do you get off the grid and survive for this long without any correspondence that's trackable or traceable somewhere? Right? Like, don't you have to have...
Well, you had a week. You had your parents, right, for a week protecting you.
You're going to run out of money.
So you could have got some money wired.
How much money does he have?
Enough to be gone for 3 weeks off the stuff. Or maybe he's off in the wilderness and there's some little podunk store he can just keep going back and forth to, getting just a little bit. But to that point, he can live on very little and stretch it out for at least 3 weeks.
If he's in Mexico, too, he can pay people off, right?
Let's just be real.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.